Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyar, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 1-800-8-ENYAR. That's 1-800-836-9278. I'd like to know your thoughts on the State of the Union address last night by George W. Bush. We, of course, had the exclusive real-time commentary of all the networks covering the speech. Only IRN gave an actual real-time commentary during the speech, during the applause, live comments on the president's proposals for improving health care and education and AIDS money to Africa and the dividend tax cut and going to war in Iraq. So I'd like to know your thoughts on some of George Bush's proposals. Our phone number here, 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Education and health care, AIDS money to Africa, on many issues, as most Republican presidents do, and do normally. George W. Bush was calling for increased spending, and that's common. It's great to cut taxes because taxes are horrendously high. It's wrong. The government spends about 50% of what this country produces every year. And so that means we're taxed at a 50% rate. And if the Republicans are saying, let's cut taxes, but across the board on social programs, they're increasing spending, well, then where do you make up the difference? Well, you could make up the difference if the economy improves, but that's not happening right now. And one area that the difference is made up is in deficit spending, the national debt. And so if the government right now spending $100 billion, $200 billion more than it's taking in per year, what does that mean? Well, that's a tax on our children and our grandchildren. That's what that is. George Bush Sr. taxed our children and the next generation just, over $1 trillion. And we're doing the same now. So Republicans, George Bush Sr. got elected on the promise of a tax cut, and he gave us a tax cut. And, wait a minute. I seem to remember the senior president promising no new taxes, and then he gave us the largest tax increase in history. Now, his son certainly will not do that. Well, at least not before his reelection. Hopefully never. But he's certainly not going to do it before his reelection campaign. So when Republican administrations, when they increase spending faster than Democratic administrations. And how is it that they do that? I thought Republicans were more conservative. Isn't that the case? Aren't they more conservative? Well, what happens is when there's a Democrat in the White House, the Republicans, of course, will fight him on every initiative, proposal, budget. They'll fight him on everything. So if he wants to increase taxes, they'll fight it. If he wants to increase spending, they'll fight it. And the Democrats are trying to increase spending and taxes. When a Republican is in the White House, then the Republicans in the House and the Senate, they pretty much go along with the party line. So when a Republican wants to spend more money, there's no one to say no. And they do. To the tune of billions and billions of dollars of every year increases in program after program. And we have conservative talk show hosts that'll debate liberal callers and say, what do you mean George W. Bush is not a good president? Look how he's increased spending on public schools by $10 billion. Look how he's increased spending on health care by $20 billion. Look how he's increased spending on helping the poor and unemployment, $15 billion. And the conservative talk show host will use those examples as their argument that Bush is doing well. And it's all wrong. His faith-based initiative. Faith-based initiative. But we're going to take money that's collected by the IRS, which if you don't pay your taxes, and they know you don't, and they care, because maybe the dollar figure is high enough, what will they do to you? Well, they'll put you in jail. They will put you in jail. So, and it is appropriate for the government to be able to tax using its enforcement ability, because the government does need to tax. And a 10% tax, a flat 10% tax, is tyrannical. That's corrupt. That's wrong. We find that out in the book of Samuel. That's just too much. A 10% tax is too much. So a 50% tax is absolutely criminal, of course. So don't steal. The government hates competition. But a church that wants to have a ministry and reach out to people, and they advocate that the government takes some of the money that they collect by force and give it to the church so the church can perform ministries with it. What? You know, the charity given in the Bible, it's given freely, willingly, by cheerful givers. It's not as though you're going to staff your church ministries with conscripted labor, where the government enslaves people and forces them to work for your church. That's you're not going to run your ministries that way with slaves. And in the same way, churches should realize that they should not be funding their ministries with money taken by force from their neighbors. It's wrong. And we had the guy who called in. What city was he from? He called in upset about his church's benevolent fund. I thought, I did not realize what he was saying until the last minute of his call, with his attitude that he was mad at his church because they were not giving him charity. What a terrible attitude that is. That's a welfare attitude. People who receive government benefits, they're not grateful. They're bitter. And now imagine churches like that. Listener-supported radio right here on Bob and Yurt Live. We're on the air in 8 cities, thanks to those of you out in the audience who are helping out with monthly pledges. You know, to make a pledge, if you'd like to do that, whether it's $50 a month, $100 a month, whatever you can afford, if you're willing to, you call us at the same number that you could call into the show at, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. You could, of course, make a pledge, and thank you so very much, those of you who do that, perhaps with a credit card or mailing in a check or money order. Those of you who order our materials, every month we ship out the monthly album, a Bible study album, the monthly Best of Bob, the best 8 shows of the month on audio tape, the monthly sermons. We also have people who call up and order the plot manuscript, my 330-page unpublished manuscript of the overview of the whole Bible, the story of the Bible. And we have videotapes on the resurrection and on the death penalty and debates with evolutionists and the ACLU. We've got a lot of materials. You can go to our website at kgov.com and check out our materials up in the top right-hand corner of your screen. click on that link, or give us a call. We'll be happy to talk with you, see what you're interested in. And if you're listening on the radio in South Bend, Indiana, or Indianapolis, we really need people in Indiana to help with a monthly pledge to help us stay on the air in those two cities. We need your help. Please call 800-8-NYART. And for those listening on the internet at kgov.com, kgov.com. Now I've got my studio audience asking me a question here. So tell who was that on the line that you're thinking of putting through? You had a question for me, and now that we're on a break, I can pay attention here. So, talk to him further and see if he, I'd be willing to talk to him if he doesn't hang up again, right? Yeah. All right. Sorry, I just had to talk to our call screener in the studio audience. We're chatting about a call, trying to vote him up or down. Yeah, we'd do it. All right. Let's see. Welcome back, Bob and Yurt Live, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. So welfare does not help communities. It destroys them. Have you ever been to Benton Harbor, Michigan? It's on the coast of Lake Michigan. And my wife and I, we used to commute to South Bend, Indiana for a couple of years. And fly from Denver, Colorado every other weekend back and forth. My wife and the kids would come and visit me there. I would come home every weekend, every other weekend, and it was very difficult for a few years. But one weekend, Cheryl and I were alone for the weekend. It was extraordinary. With all the boys we have, that's pretty rare. And we looked at a map and thought, well, where can we go for the weekend? And we thought we'd drive up along the coast of Michigan, Lake Michigan, and have lunch in Benton Harbor. It looked like it would be such a picturesque place. So we head north out of South Bend, Indiana, and within, an hour and a half, couple hours, we're in Benton Harbor. We were afraid to stop the car. I thought we were in Beirut, Lebanon. It was like a war zone. Every other house looked like it had been bombed out, burned down, or boarded up. It was a disaster. And it was there that day as we were driving through to leave Benton Harbor. I first asked this question. I asked it of my wife. I said, Cheryl, what do you think came to Benton Harbor? Because the homes, you could tell the homes, when they were built, they were gorgeous. And the buildings were just extraordinary, the architecture, the grandeur of it. And that was all devastating. And I asked Cheryl, what do you think came to Benton Harbor first? A welfare check or a boarded up home? Which came to this town first? And she said, a welfare check. Since then, I've probably asked that question 100 times. And about everyone has given the same answer, a welfare check. Welfare has destroyed millions of people. It's destroyed countries like Somalia. The number one industry in Somalia was the distribution of welfare. It's destroyed continents, destroyed Africa. Welfare did. Trillions of dollars of welfare has destroyed Africa. And it'll destroy churches, too. The churches will be bitter and angry that they're not getting what they should get. It's just the lack of wisdom is extraordinary. Let's go to the phones in South Bend, Indiana. Jim, speak your mind. 1-800-836-9278. Yes, Jim.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Bob.
Yes.
Yeah, you just said that Bush said no new taxes. Bush Senior.
Yeah.
Said no new taxes, and then he raised the taxes.
Yeah.
You didn't mention that they had a Democratic Senate and Congress.
Well,
they were going to shut the government down.
Hey, Jim, you didn't mention that George Bush Sr. called for the tax increase. It was his tax increase.
Excuse me?
It was his increase.
No, it was their increase. They called for the increase.
No, it was George Bush Sr.'s increase. He could have fought against it. He could have said it's wrong. He could have vetoed it and forced them to override it. It was his tax increase.
But they would have had to shut the government down then. They were already out of money.
The tax increase that they passed, we're going back 10 years now. But what did that have been for the next year and the next 5 years?
That was for the next.
Hey Jim, let me ask you a question, because you're calling me on this. In fact, I'm rather shocked that anybody is saying it wasn't Bush's tax increase. Are you 100% sure, or you're just taking a stab and trying to defend Bush?
No, I remember the news on it.
You're 100% sure.
Any document, but I
you're
100%
sure.
And he fought that no new taxes. And
all right,
and
Jim, you're 100% sure.
That's right.
That otherwise the Democrats were going to shut down the government.
That's right.
Because I recall all that scandal going on after Bush was out of office, and it was Newt Gingrich and the Republicans that were shutting down the government because Clinton wanted to, he wouldn't agree to a more frugal budget.
That would have happened then too.
But that wasn't the big debate. Are you saying if we do a LexisNexis search right now at the time of the Bush tax increase, we're going to find Bush wrestling with the Democrats who are going to shut down the government?
That's right.
And when the Republican Party was disgusted with Bush because of the tax increase, that he said no new taxes, and he gave us the biggest tax increase in history, there were millions of Republicans who were disgusted with him. You're saying we all have a false recollection?
Yeah, I was disgusted that he backed down too.
Jim, I think what you're doing is revisionist history. That was George Bush's tax increase. He proposed it, and the Congress signed off on it.
Okay, I'll just have to say that's what you say.
Well, no, you don't have to say that. There's such a thing as newspapers and the Internet and LexisNexis. We could look it up. Do you want to make a wager?
No, I won't make a wager.
Why not?
Because I don't make wagers.
Why not?
I just don't.
All right.
Do you? I'm a Christian. I don't know about you.
I'm a Christian.
Okay. Well, Christians don't wager.
Why not?
They just don't.
Where does it say that?
You play the lottery?
Well, maybe once every 3 years. Where does it say Christians can't gamble?
I can't tell you, but I can give it to, I can look it up and give it to you.
No, you can't, Jim.
I'll call you back.
All right, Jim, bye. The Bible does not say that Christians can't gamble. But you know what? Christians get very worked up over things that are cliches but are not based in the Bible. That's frustrating. Okay, let's go to Massachusetts. 1-800-836-9278. South Hadley, Massachusetts. Jason, speak your mind.
Hi, Mr. Enyer. How are you doing?
Hello, sir. Doing well.
I'm actually filing my tax returns in Massachusetts right now.
All right.
And I'm just getting such a headache seeing how much money the state is taking from me.
It's disgusting, isn't it?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Jason, we grieve with you.
I hope you do. You know what? I think I pay enough taxes when I leave my home. I fill my gas tank, which is taxed exorbitantly
right.
in Massachusetts.
Right.
Then I use the roads I pay for with my taxes. They're going to pay for the big dig. So I'm getting taxed on the roads I use. I'm getting taxed my gas.
The big dig, billions of dollars for what, 7 miles? Or
it's ridiculous,
Bob.
I can't even go into it. And then beyond that, go to work, pay to have my car taxed on where I park. it is just ridiculous in this state.
When you buy your car, you got to pay taxes. And when, everything you do, the telephone that you use, and there's whether you buy alcohol or clothing or real estate, everything you do, the heat that you use to heat your home in many of our states, there's sin tax, there's everything tax.
That thing that really bothered me about Bush's speech yesterday,
yeah,
is that he never made any clear-cut plans or any decisive action on cutting taxes.
And, he argued for the cut on the dividend tax, and while that's, you know, that's maybe 1% of the 100% that he should call for,
right?
But at least he did that.
That's true.
Right?
That's true.
Because the dividend tax, if a corporation has earnings, say $1 million, and the corporation is owned by 10 people. So the corporation made, it's a small business, they made $1 million for the year. So the government takes what, $350,000, 35%, something like that. And then each of the owners, they were supposed to get one-tenth or $100,000, but now they only get $65,000 because that's all that's left, and they have to pay their 30-some percent tax bracket. So really, the million is double taxed right off the bat. And then once they do get their money, their $50,000 or so instead of $100,000 each for all their time and effort and energy and money they invested in this business, then everything they buy is loaded with taxes.
It is so terrible.
It's criminal.
And that, you know what? I was really hoping. It was a long shot in the dark. But what I was hoping that Bush would say something on the abuses of abortion.
Well, he talked about partial birth abortion.
I'm just talking about abortion in general.
Right.
You know, you look at statistics. Since abortion was enacted, mm-hmm. since the government has accepted it mm-hmm. as something that's normal, child abuse cases have skyrocketed.
Right. And that was predicted. And the Surgeon General of 30-some years ago, C. Everett Koop, predicted that if we legalized abortion, infanticide would become epidemic. And it has. Because the mothers know that it's a baby. In fact, a majority of the mothers, according to Alan Guttmacher Institute, they believe abortion is murder. A majority of the mothers who are pro-choice.
It's just terrible. You know, the thing, I grew up in a single-family home. I grew up with my mother because my father took his own life.
Oh.
No one knows how detrimental it is for a child to grow up in a single-family home.
Right. And all the sexual...
You know the thing that raised me? Was TV.
Yeah,
TV. And then when I reached a certain age, 19 or 20, then it was Jesse Lee Peterson. But beyond that, it was TV that raised me.
Oh.
And Jesse Lee Peterson is kind of like my surrogate father.
Right. And we've done the stories, the report out of Europe just this past week, that kids who grow up in single-parent families are twice as likely to commit suicide, to become addicted to alcohol. The girls are three times as likely to become a drug addict. The boys are four times as likely to become a drug addict as kids who grow up in two-family households. And the real issues that are tearing our country apart, George W. Bush didn't even mention. The sexual immorality, the single-parent families, the godless public school system, the socialist government. You know, just no mention. The fact that the terrorists who are convicted for the first bombing of the World Trade Center, that we can't even get them executed? That's not justice. We'll be right back. All right, let's see here. Bush tax increase. George Bush tax increase. George Bush Sr.? No, we can't do that. Read my lips. Taxes going up. Mike Royko, Chicago Tribune. Now, I'm looking on the web during this internet-only commercial to see if I could refresh my memory. So this is 1988. Let's see. Read my lips. no new taxes. All right, let's see. Read my lips. All right, now that's an article from the Chicago Tribune by Mike Royko. And that I don't think that's going to help me. But that gives us the year. It was 1988. That was right after Bush was elected, right? Let's see here. In Bush tax plan, perception is key. Now when you search for the information on this, well, this is interesting. You can't say George Bush Sr. You know what I'm going to have to do? I'm going to have to go to LexisNexis. Let's see. Nexis.com. And you need to log in to Nexis, right? What does it cost? A couple hundred dollars a month? Yeah. All right. We have an account. Newspaper stories, combined papers, George Bush tax increase. Available dates, let's see, from 1997 to 1999. And how about a quote? No new taxes. Okay, let's see what comes up. Search. What did I say? You're right. Thank you. Good thing I have a crack show engineer. I said 90. I meant 80. Thank you. All right, here we go. Let's see. This is a LexisNexis search. And, all right, we're getting too many documents. I'm going to have to change this here. All right, search again. See, it's a good thing we have these internet spots. Newsday. All right, I'll click on that article, and I'll try to look at it during the show. Welcome back. Bob and Eric Live, 1-800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. I think it's amazing the selective memory that conservative Christians have and the selective recall. For example, George W. Bush, who's in office right now, Bush Light, Bush Jr., he filled the Texas Supreme Court with pro-abortion judges. And the Texas Supreme Court Chief Justice, who is it? It's his current legal counsel. What's the guy's name? Alberto Gonzalez? Is that it? He brought the Chief Justice to the White House as Bush's chief legal counsel. He's the one whose name comes up most often as a likely U.S. Supreme Court nominee. And he's a radical pro-abort. Radical pro-abort. So how does that work? Let's go to the phones. In Indianapolis, Dustin, speak your mind.
Yeah, Bob. I was just kind of wanting to continue to talk about the tax issue with Bush.
Yeah.
And my main issue was I was just kind of wondering if you realize that he's basically bringing the country further to the left because he's unwilling to cut spending. And in about 5 or 6 years, he'll have to raise taxes again. He wants to cut taxes for the short term just to get a little bit of support.
And, Dustin, that was the first 5 minutes of the show. I was talking about you got to cut taxes and cut spending.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear the first part of the show.
Okay.
I just kinda
all right. That's
on the radio.
That's all right. And he's got us way back with these, $100 to $200 billion a year deficits and increased spending across the board, radically so.
Right.
And just like his father did, and we're talking about an additional $1 trillion tax on our children.
Yeah, and that's always been the knock on conservatives that you hear from liberals is that they always build deficits. And it's true, basically.
It is true, and I explained why at the beginning of the show, because does spending go up faster under Republican presidents or Democratic presidents?
Yeah.
It goes up faster under Republicans. And the reason is, at least if you look at the last 30 or 40 years, the reason is because the when a Democratic president is in the White House, the Republicans resist every spending increase.
Yeah.
And every tax cut, tax increase. But when a Republican is in the White House, there's no one to resist because the Republican Party gives him the increased spending he wants,
right,
because they think they're going to buy votes for it.
Yeah.
And we tax our children. It's just despicable.
Yeah, the only difference I see between Al Gore and Bush is that Al Gore would actually pay for the stuff that he's going to propose, and Bush isn't.
You mean because Gore would want to increase taxes?
Yeah, he would at least be upfront about it and say this is what it's going to cost and propose a tax increase.
Well, look at the Republican Party putting up Bob Dole, you know,
yeah,
a few years back. Bob Dole was one of the biggest tax and spend liberal politicians in Congress.
Yeah.
Huge. Was against virtually every major tax cut. Even when the top tax bracket hit 90% back in the 60s.
Uh-huh.
And JFK had his huge tax cut he wanted to pass. Bob Dole was against it back then.
Wow.
And he's been for tax increases and against tax cuts consistently. And that's pretty much the story of Republican presidential candidates. Even Ronald Reagan, a man that I love, but
yeah,
Ronald Reagan campaigned on cutting taxes, and he did. And then he gave us, in his time in the 80s, the largest tax increase in history up till his day. So, yeah, you know, it's just sad that the Republican Party,
yeah,
is not grounded in principle.
It is sad. It's just depressing that this is conservatism's in such a sorry state these days. It's
right.
Wow. What are you to do?
That's true. The Republican Party is hardly conservative. You know,
yeah,
if we
not.
Look at like if we look at Bush going after Al-Qaeda,
yeah,
and we say, well, that shows that he's conservative. Well,
yeah,
FDR went after the Nazis.
That's true.
That doesn't mean he was conservative. When a nation is threatened, people tend to rally behind the leader, and he goes after the enemy if he thinks he could beat him.
Yeah.
Pretty
and then
much,
Johnson went after Vietnam, too.
Yeah, pretty much it doesn't matter whether you're Republican or liberal, conservative, Democrat, doesn't matter. You know, that generally happens in history.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad Bush is being as aggressive as he is. I wish he was twice as aggressive.
But do you think, though, that when you have a president like Bush that the country goes further to the left because then he's seen as the standard on the right, so the left has to go even further left to oppose him? You know what I mean?
Well, I think the whole Republican Party goes further to the
yeah,
left.
Yeah, the whole everybody
here,
goes
here's
left.
What happens. In the primary, the conservative or the Republican campaigns as a Christian right winger in the primary.
Yeah, you're right.
In the general election, he moves to the center, and once in office, he moves to the left.
Yeah.
And that always happens. It
but
always
they're so
happens.
They're worried they're going to lose their power.
In Christians are, I guess, willingly gullible and naive. They so desperately want to feel that they have a place at the table,
yep,
that they look the other way when their guys increase spending into the hundreds of billions of dollars of deficit, tax our children, increase spending for all the things that destroy us,
yep,
like government schools.
That's infuriating.
Government schools are godless. They're destructive. They're unconstitutional. And they're just terrible.
I know.
And Bush,
I went to one. And
you know, all the Bush, they just want to increase government funding of our godless education system. And the government paying for health care is socialism. It,
yep,
it hurts the quality of medicine. It doesn't improve it. And it hurts families and individuals. Faith-based welfare is despicable.
Yep.
And the reason... When the president said that in Africa, millions of people have AIDS and very few of them could afford the $300 a year for the medicine, $300 a year, that's $6 a week.
Yeah.
If they can't afford $6 a week in this day and age, it's because the welfare, the trillions of dollars of welfare that America and Europe have poured into Africa, that money has destroyed that continent.
Yeah.
They had an increasing standard of living back in the 50s. Through, you know, the last 200 years up to 60 years ago, they had an increasing standard of living. And with the advent of international foreign aid, we have destroyed that continent. And now they cannot take care of themselves, and it's the fault of our welfare dollars. Because it's easier to take a welfare check than to build a business. It's so despicable what we've done to millions of people.
I agree with you. All right, should we do? I
mean, Dustin, how old are you?
I'm 29.
All right, so you don't remember George W. Bush, George Herbert Walker Bush's tax increase?
Actually, I do kind of remember that. I was kind of getting into politics a little bit back then. I was in high school.
And the last caller sort of shocked me trying to say it wasn't George Bush Sr.'s tax increase.
Yeah, that's outrageous. I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, right. The entire Republican Party said the reason Bush lost his reelection was because he violated his pledge of no new taxes. And it turns out we thought he said no new taxes, and he said no. I said no nude Texans.
Wow.
Well, thanks for clarifying, Mr. President.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry for taking you back to the beginning of the show, but thanks anyway.
Hey, Dustin, thank you for your call. I appreciate that. 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Dean in South Bend, Indiana. Go ahead, Dean.
Hey, Bob. How's everything going?
Doing well, sir.
I was thinking about the Kuwait War.
Yeah.
And how Bush... Daddy Bush said that we are in that war to help, it's like spread democracy and spread freedom around the world.
Right.
And he's using these same tired, worn-out cliches and lies.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I say they're cliches and lies is when we liberated Kuwait, they never instituted democratic or freedoms, and the freedom that they didn't introduce was religious freedom. And our government could care less about instituting real freedoms around the world.
Well, and I'm not a fan of democracy by any stretch.
Yeah, neither am I.
Right? And so I'm glad that Kuwait didn't go democratic. And, you know, the women in Kuwait, they're angry because they don't get to vote. The men, well, they do have democracy in Kuwait. They do vote, but the women can't vote.
Yeah.
But, in Colorado, it was about 105 years ago or so when the men of Colorado, the voters, gave women the right to vote via the ballot box. The men went on election day, and a ballot initiative was whether women should vote or not, and the men said yes, and they voted yes. And Colorado's been messed up ever since.
Yeah, well.
Hey, Dean, I'm not an advocate of women voting. I'm not an advocate of men voting.
Right.
Because the government is supposed to be able to protect the minorities. And when you have majority rule, how does the government, how is it well suited to protect minorities? Amazed at how difficult it is to search during a commercial break or during the show and get a clear picture on LexisNexis of Bush's tax hike. It's a challenge. But I'm glad you guys out there on the internet only are hanging in there with me here. Let's see. Bush tax hike. There, I'll use slang. Now let's see what happens there. Now, I'm trying magazine stories. Let's see. No, higher taxes. No, that's not going to do it. Okay, newspaper stories. I'm going to go major newspapers. These options. I don't like how they have it laid out here at Nexus. Chicago Tribune. GOP Democrats must share SNL blame. Tax flag. USA Today. Let's see. No new taxes. No new. I knew it. No nude Texans. That's not what he said. He said no new taxes. I remember. This is USA Today. Most see Bush's tax hike backtracking as inevitable. When he made that read my lips speech, I wasn't sure how any candidate for president could say that. To know you would not have to raise taxes, said Vice Chairman who worked on Ronald Reagan's presidential campaign ads in 1980 and 1984. I hope any tax increase is tied to a very strong reduction on the expense side. You know, somebody out there in Radio Land, if you can instant message me or email me an appropriate article, that'll be good. That's what I got to do. Get help from the audience. And here we have Jimmy Kimmel on ABC. He's the guy I was on Politically Incorrect with twice. And he used to do the Man Show on the Comedy Channel. And they're getting people in his audience drunk during the show. So ABC and Disney, they just closed the bar. They're not allowed to serve alcohol to their audience members any longer. I called him a crotch humorist. I said, Jimmy, we used to have romantic comedies on TV, and now we've got crotch humorist. And he said, oh, that's what you're calling me? You're a crotch humorist. It's just despicable. Let's go back to Dean, 1-800-836-9278.
Hey, Bob. You said that you aren't a fan of democracy, but our country was never founded as a democracy. It was founded as a republic.
Well, one-sixth of it was democratic.
Right.
The federal government. And the states had a huge democratic influence in the states. But, for example, when the Constitution says that the federal government is composed of three parts, and they each have one-third of the power, supposedly,
right.
And the legislative branch had the Senate and the House of Representatives. Now, that word is key, representatives. The executive, the president, was not supposed to be elected by the people.
Right.
He was supposed to be elected, chosen by the Electoral College, and the members of the Electoral College were supposed to be chosen by the Senates of the state legislatures.
Right.
So there was supposed to be no voting involved in the president. And then you had the Supreme Court, which was supposed to be not the Supreme Court justices were to be nominated by the president, who was not elected, and confirmed by the Senate, which was the House that was not elected.
Right.
The place of the choosing of the senators, the Constitution said, was in the state houses.
Right.
And the governor and the senators of each state, they'd get together and they would decide what powerful and influential businessman are we going to send to the Senate.
Yeah, and that's to prevent mob influence or like the media having undue influence on, you know, popularizing an election.
Well, so 5/6 of the federal government was not supposed to be Democratic.
Right.
On the other hand, 1/6, the House of Representatives was fully Democratic in that the people would vote their own representatives.
Yeah.
But democracy is destructive. Democracy is a corrupt notion. It's a pagan Greek notion.
Yeah.
It's not a
biblical.
That's
what we got now.
Yeah. But so anyway, if you think you could take fire into your bosom and not be burned, if you think you could dance with the bear and survive, you're a fool. And if the founding fathers thought they could put democracy in a nice little box and keep it there, I mean, the very first election we had people in the states voting for the president. And soon enough, they voted for their senators. And then soon enough, the democratically elected president and the democratically elected Senate, they were nominating and confirming the judiciary. And so our government now, because of the seeds that were planted, the seeds of democratic corruption planted by the Constitution itself, our federal government is about 100% democratic.
Yeah. You know, I think maybe 1/6 is probably about right.
No, it's not right. It's wrong.
It's better than what it is now.
No, it's the reason we have what we have now. You can't do a little bit wrong and think you're doing well. How do you do a little bit wrong? And our founding fathers, remember why they wanted the spending bills to originate in the House of Representatives? Do you remember that?
No, I don't.
All right, because they thought that the House of Representatives, they were the closest to the people. And they would never spend more money than the people had paid in taxes. They would be the most frugal. And the House
of Representatives should have been the Senate instead of the House.
Well, the point is that all their highfalutin theorizing about how the government would work, if you go back and you read the Federalist and the Anti-Federalist papers, it was all completely wrong. They said the people of America, they would never put up with corrupt leaders. And since they have to reelect them every 2 years and every 6 years and every 4 years, if there's any corrupt politician, there's no way the people would allow it. That was total Pollyanna naivete.
Mm-hmm.
That's thinking that the people are wise, the people are righteous, the people are godly. And the Bible doesn't say that. Jesus said most people are evil.
Yeah, even his chosen people.
Right, exactly. The chosen people were the enemies of God, and they went to hell, the vast majority of them. The chosen priests hated God. The prophets were evil, so many of them. The kings were evil. Even the ones God chose by hand were evil. And so for our founding fathers to say, we've given you a form of government that will only work if the people are righteous. Well, what are the chances that the people will be righteous? Dean, on a scale of 0 to 100, what are the chances that the majority are going to be righteous in any given a campaign year?
It's probably not going to be very high.
Well, what would you guess? If you had it, you don't have to guess, but if you would, what are the chances that the majority of the people throughout history in any given year are righteous?
That's tough, Bob.
Well, I would say it's the chances are right around zero. I mean, when Jesus was ministering, the majority shouted, "Crucify him."
Right.
The prophets... What did Stephen say in the book of Acts, chapter 7? He said, which of the prophets did the Jews not persecute? And they killed the Israelites. They killed their own prophets. They persecuted them. And the prophets foretold the coming of the Messiah, and they killed Jesus, as so did the Gentiles. The Romans are actually the ones that crucified Jesus Christ.
Right.
So the people have always been evil. Jesus said that the road to heaven is narrow, and very few are on that road. And the road to hell is wide, and the majority are on that road. So if our founding fathers said, well, here's a form of government, but it will only work if the people are righteous, why didn't they take their swords and chop one another up right at that moment? What a stupid thing! To give us a form of government that was certain. If history and the Bible taught us anything, it was certain that this form of government would be evil.
Oh.
It would fail.
Oh.
So I am a critic of democracy and our U.S. Constitution. It set us up to fail.
Wow. That's an interesting analogy, Bob. Hey, let me throw something at you real quick. I know you got to get on to other subjects.
All right. Let me give our number here. We're almost out of time. 1-800-836-9278. All right. Go ahead.
Our Constitution spells out very specifically what are the functions of the federal government.
Yeah.
And it's like all the functions that it gives the government, the federal or the states have been almost all swallowed up by the federal government. But one of the key functions that the federal government's supposed to have has been privatized, and that's the Federal Reserve System. That doesn't make sense.
Well, the Constitution. Now, the Constitution did not authorize a federal bank, right?
Okay.
It didn't do that.
But it did authorize Congress to print and to regulate money.
Yeah.
And Congress has never done that since the Federal Reserves.
They turned it over. We could discuss monetary policy and debt and currency, and that would be fun, but it's a little late in the show to do that.
Yeah, but I'm just the setup of it, turning, relinquishing and privatizing this when Big Brother's getting into everything else. It doesn't make sense. It's backwards.
Well, I'm not prepared in a couple minutes to talk about the principles of monetary policy.
Okay.
Because I think most thinking on the topic is not real rigid, careful, and logical. And so I'd rather not just flippantly throw out something. Well, but, hey, Dean, thank you very much.
You've got a wonderful program.
Oh, I appreciate your call. Thanks to your call and other good calls, that's what helps the show succeed. So if we summarize George W. Bush's State of the Union address last night, it's wrong. Welfare is wrong. Why is it wrong? Because God said, thou shalt not steal. And you don't take stolen money and filter it through churches. You do money laundering through churches, and that makes it better. We got drug dealers, and as long as they give the church a cut, everything is okay? Of course not. It's like the temple harlot of the Old Testament pagan cultures. They had prostitutes working for their pagan religion, and they used the money to fund their church, their temple. They had temple harlots. Well, we have church welfare programs now, church socialist programs. How has socialism helped the churches in China? The government-funded churches in communist China. How has socialism helped the churches in Europe? Pretty well. How about the church in England that's been funded by the government for all these years? How's that church faring? Pretty well. The Anglican Church, with all their support from the government, how are they doing? Pretty well. No, they're dead. They're dead. They are dead. You don't take government funds that are collected by force and use them for Christian ministry. You don't do that. It destroys the churches. It destroys the ministers involved in the church, the workers. It destroys the people that are supposedly to be helped. It destroys the government by corrupting the very institution that is the government's only hope, the church. I tell you, when we're all dead and buried, and we're up in heaven many years from now, if George Bush's faith-based initiative becomes law and it becomes any kind of a significant influence in America, it will be seen as the nail in the coffin of Christianity in America. That's what it will be seen as. You don't take conscripted laborers and money collected by force and use it to further the gospel. You don't do that. Welfare is wrong. Socialism and communism are wrong because God said, thou shalt not steal. And you don't launder stolen money through the church to clean it up. The government should not be involved in health care. And George W. Bush is bragging about our godless education system last night. How many conservative Christians got angry that he's saying good things about our godless education system? What, are we going to fund him, give him more billions to teach more kids to hate their parents and hate God? This is Bob Inyart reminding you to do right and risk the consequences.